greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. We are going to cover news and miscellaneous Bible questions today. Now, I hope you've all been following what's going on with the banks in Europe. And I have an article here that Europe's banks are staring into the abyss. And of course, you've heard about Greece and Italy and Spain and Portugal and Ireland. And the biggest problem is to try and get the Germans to go along with the refinancing of these various debts. And the truth is that there is no way that they can carry on unless they have debt forgiveness. It's just not going to be. The bonds for Greece are discounted to 86%. In other words, if you buy 100 euros worth of those bonds, you pay 86 for them. And the interest rate is 14. So the spread for the first year is 28%. Now, there's no way this is going to be collectible. It's just not going to happen. The Greeks are not going to do it. They're going to be rebel. Says here the Greek banking system is about done, which is true. So the sovereign debt crisis is exacting a devastating toll on European banks as a whole, the UK included. So we don't know what's going to happen there. Yesterday, or Thursday rather, Geithner went over to Europe as if he could help them. He doesn't even know what to do here. So they don't know what to do. Because you see, when you have a debt-based fiat money, you must continually expand the debt in a way that can be perpetuated. But the problem is, unless you're paying down the debt as you go, sooner or later you're going to reach the point that there's too much debt that no one can pay anything. And now we are at the inflation point, and who knows how quickly that is going to kick in. So it says here, Europe's financial and monetary system is falling apart. Now, what if we said for years they're going to bring all the banking systems in line? Okay. That's why Geithner went over there, to help bring it all in line. They are going to have to create such a crisis worldwide so they can bring in a world currency. Now, they've talked about it this way. The dollar, the pound, I don't know if it's the German mark, but it's the Swiss franc and the euro. That's it. Those four. Now, who is excluded? The BRICS. Brazil, Russia, India, and China. Now, why? Even though their economies are growing, their economies are very fragile. And their money is really not very good. China likes to think that it could handle being international reserve currency, but it doesn't have the ability to do it. So different ones are going to China from Europe, especially the Italians, asking for them to purchase some of their bonds. And China is saying, no, we don't want to purchase your bonds. We want to buy your businesses. See? Okay. So the whole thing is that the G20, now the G20 is all of the major leading central banks of the world. Now, go back to 2008. Remember what happened in September 2008? That drop in the stock market that put Obama in office. I wonder who was doing that. Because at that point, McCain was ahead by about 3 points. Okay? So here are some things that are about the world economy. Okay. With gold and silver continuing to escalate their recent gains, and they've been, it's been going up, it's been going down, it's been going up, it's been going down. It can't break through the 1950 level, and it can't go below the 1780 level, so right in that range. And so Jim Rickard, Senior Managing Director of Tangent Capital Markets, his take is where gold is headed. With the G20 coming up, so they're going to have another meeting with the G20 here pretty quick, I think they're going to dust off the old SDR solution, special drawing rights. And I just mentioned the four currencies, Swiss franc, euro, dollar, and pound. So that puts the Germans would rather have their own mark and have that in there. But they're sort of stuck with the euro, and that's why they are so angry. Because the non-productive nations must be supported by Germany. And those are the nations that they conquered in World War II. So, they're not happy with that. Okay, the next time there's a major global financial crisis, the Fed is not going to be able to bail out the world because they've been loaning to the European banks, and with all the debt-denominated assets they have, they can lend money with absolutely no limit. As I mentioned one time, the bare minimum is that they could create $4.5 quadrillion worth of loans. See, because every time you hold an asset, now if you hold a note, it's an asset. So if it's $100 million, then you have $90 million that you can loan against that $100 million. Now you loan that out to the different nations, and remember, they made a $500 million transfer to New Zealand back in, what was that, 2008, 2007, somewhere around there. And Bernanke was asked about it, and he just kind of sloughed it off and said, well, that's just kind of the normal banking things we do. Uh-huh. It will be very transparent that we're just replacing one kind of paper money for another kind of paper money, and that's going to accelerate the rush to gold. So here he says gold is going to go to $5,000, $6,000, or $7,000 an ounce. Okay? So we'll have to wait and see how that will go. All right. Things are happening in Israel. Most people don't know that. Turkey declared war against Israel because Israel will not apologize for the deaths of those who remember what they when they were enforcing the blockade. So we'll have to wait and see what is going to happen. Turkey wants to come and regain the power it had with the old Ottoman Empire. Now, they may exert it here very shortly by going into Syria and stopping the things going on in Syria. Because remember, Turkey had all the Arab world under its control. How many have seen the movie Lawrence of Arabia? Okay. The Ottoman Empire was defeated in 1917. Okay, so how is the King of the South going to be reconstituted? Well, it's going to be reconstituted with a, what do they call that, caliphate in Cairo, Turkey being a power broker, Saudi Arabia being a power broker, and we don't know what's going to happen to Iran yet. So what you have to do is watch out for Turkey not coming in your backyard. Here where we meet for Sabbath services, we have some wild turkeys walk by every once in a while. So if you hear a little goggle in the background, that's what it is. So there's now competition between Turkey and Saudi Arabia over influencing the other states. We don't know what's going to happen in Libya or in Syria, But all of these things, you can rest assured, are paving the way for the coming King of the South. What's happening in Europe is going to be very interesting, because before this financial matter, it looked like Europe was getting together, gathering a good head of steam, and that the King of the North would begin to have a power base constructed for him. But now who knows what's going to happen? So that indicates there's everyone who thinks that time is short. It's probably a lot longer than you figure. Now, here's something that very few people realize that Israel has. They have secret submarines. Now, they let it be published that they have them. Here's a picture of it. Now, why do that? To let Turkey know, don't do anything. And to let Iran know, because they have missiles in those submarines, you send one of your missiles over here, and you're history. Now, they currently have three. They're going to expand it to six. So as things develop in the Middle East, it's going to go back and forth and back and forth. Now, the Jews are really in a terrible predicament there, because Obama is not their friend. And the latest election back there in New York, what happened? A Jewish Democrat could not get elected in a Democrat district that was 3-1 Democrat, which then was, whose former district was it there? Yes, Anthony Weiner. Okay, so we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But given the environment that we have between the Jews and between the Arab nations, and now this coming session of the United Nations, they're going to try and grant nationhood to the Palestinians. So we'll see what happens with that. But there is going to come a time when there will be a pact made between the King of the North and the Jews. And that will be, I believe, to protect them. And that will be the beginning of the 70th week of the 70 weeks prophecy. Okay? So, we've always looked at Luke 21. Let's go there. Luke 21 and verse 20. That the armies surrounding Jerusalem are armies surrounding it because of war. But what if it is that they are surrounding Jerusalem to prevent war between the Jews and the Arabs? It says, but when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, then know that her desolation is drawn near. Now, in the fulfillment of the Jewish wars, 66 to 70 AD, that ended up destroying the temple, the armies that surrounded Jerusalem were the Roman armies. And it was desolated. So when we read verse 20 here, but when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, know that her desolation has drawn near. So we don't know what the final fulfillment is going to be, because most of these prophecies have a first fulfillment and a second fulfillment. Okay? So we need to be alert as to what is happening. We also know that Revelation 20 tells us that there is going to be a temple built, and we also know in Matthew 24 and Mark 13 that the abomination of desolation is the thing that sets off the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Now, let me ask you a question. Have prophecies always worked out the way that God has given them? Answer is yes. Have prophecies always worked out the way we have thought by us watching the appearance of prophecy happening, have they happened the way that we have thought? No, indeed. No, indeed. So we have to be ready for many, many, many different things. Okay. Let's come down here. Let's come down here to verse 25. There shall be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress, anxiety among the nations, with seas roaring with rolling surges. All right. Have quite an article here. We'll look at it. The sun is now having a great deal of powerful activity in the way of solar eruptions and coronal mass ejections. Now, that's throwing out into the solar system great masses of powerful magnetic forces. And that the powerful solar eruptions are known as the Carrington effect. Now, the last time that happened was in 1859. Now, here's what it did then. Causing fires, shorting out telegraph wires. Imagine how more powerful this disruption would be with modern infrastructure, with communications and power shorted outages. Global chaos would ensue. Okay? So, the National Academy of Scientists estimate that the disruptions and destruction caused by such a storm could exceed $2 trillion and require years to rebuild all affected infrastructure and systems. So just because they have a system up and going, and it looks like we are approaching, you know, like we saw with the sermon on the mark of the beast, looks like we're getting closer to the mark of the beast. Well, if it's not time, God is going to do something. He can set it all back. Remember, God can just snap his finger, so to speak, and all the plans of men will just fall apart. So come back here to Psalm 2. Let's see how the nations are. Let's see the arrogance that they are coming to be. And I don't know if you've heard the news lately, but the Obama administration gave a license to a company through political favor, it appears, one of many, 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 many that they're beginning to uncover, and it's called the Four Square Microwave Technology. And I'm sure Dave knows something about this. Okay, you don't. That is the most powerful microwave broadband that could possibly be. Its signals are so powerful that it could disrupt the satellite communications that we have. It could disrupt the military things that we have. And a general in charge of protecting those things testified before Congress that they should not grant the license because that would interfere with the protection of the United States and national security. And the Obama administration had the gall to ask him to change his testimony so they could grant the license. Well, they granted the license, so we'll see what kind of big uproar will be with that. But that is only reflective of Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Well, that's why Christ is going to come back the way that the New Testament shows he's going to come back, in great power. That's why the heavens are going to roll back as a scroll when the sixth seal is open. Get the whole world's attention. Okay? Notice verse 4. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. So he can take care of them. They have all their plans. They have all the things that they're going to do. Many of them are going to fit into prophecy. But if it's not time for it to take place, it isn't going to happen. Notice verse 5, then he shall speak to them in his wrath and in his fury. He terrifies them. Yea, I have set my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. So talking about the return of Christ, and this is exactly what we see happening today. All right. God does it with the weather. God does it with the changing of the power of the sun. Okay. Back to the solar eruptions hit home. Now, it's also affecting Saturn. Now, you see, the Earth is in a position between Saturn and the sun that has a balancing magnetic effect on the Earth. And when both of them get out of hand, we're seeing what we are seeing now. And I am absolutely amazed as to what has happened. Okay. The sun produces two types of solar storms, solar flares and coronal mass ejections, CMEs. Both types of storms are caused by disruptions of the sun's magnetic field. Solar flares and CMEs are both capable of causing massive problems for high-tech systems that our modern civilization depends upon. Wonder what that would do to the cloud system. Poof. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? So they send out various forms of radiation and photons into space. When this happened here recently, if these erupt toward the Earth, now, the Earth and the sun, if the eruptions take place on the backside, away from the Earth, it doesn't affect the Earth very much. But if it takes place on the front side, affecting the Earth, then the part of the Earth that is facing toward the sun will have some disruptions. The part that is not facing toward the sun will not be affected nearly as much. So here's what happened. This happened recently, and they have a powerful effect on communications as seen by the event in China. The eruption that affected China radio waves was a Class X photon wave, one of the most powerful solar flares possible. So it disrupted all of their electronics. Okay. Now here's another one. The Kerrigan effect is a prime example of a CME. All right. That is the Kerrigan magnetic effect. The storm was so powerful that it caused the Earth's magnetic field to shake. Wonder why we've been having so many earthquakes lately. Sending geomagnetically induced currents through the soil and atmosphere. Stronger currents such as these have the potential to overload circuits and short out transformers, okay? So this can be a serious problem for everyone. I could go into some of the things, other things there, but we don't want to take the time to get into that. However, think about this. Just considering the U.S. disasters in 2011. Why have they all occurred? We know it's punishment for sin. All right, come back here. Come back here to, let's come here to Jeremiah 23 for just a minute. What most people don't realize is Jeremiah 23 is that human sin affects the environment. Not exactly as the environmentalists say. See, Jeremiah 23. Now, as we're turning back there, let's ask the question. What happened after Adam and Eve sinned? God's judgment brought what? Curse upon all mankind. A curse upon the ground. You look at what we talk about during the millennium and the restoration of the animals to what they were, and you find that it also changed the nature of the animals. Changed the nature of man, changed the nature of the animals, changed the nature of the earth. Now, Jeremiah 23. Okay. Let's see if we can get to one here. Okay. Verse 9. As for the prophets, my heart within me is broken. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man whom wine is overcome because of the Lord, because of the words of his holiness. The land is full of adulterers. Do we have that today? Oh, yes. Big time. All kinds of sex sins. Because of swearing, the land mourns. That has to do with lying and cheating and everything, see? The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and they wield power unjustly. So it affects the environment. What God does with the sun also affects the environment. Let's come back here to Romans 8 and take another look at this and see how Paul described what's happening in the world. Okay? Romans, the 8th chapter. This is quite a thing when you consider it. And put all of this together with what is happening. We don't know how these things are going to all come together, but we're dealing with God and his power. Romans 8, okay, Romans 8. Let's pick it up here beginning in verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation itself is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, I want you to understand, since we're getting very close to the holy days, and this afternoon I'm going to talk about the holy days when I get down south, how important the Passover, Sabbath, and holy days really, really are. And how important God's calling is for us. See? Because my observation is, too many people are playing church. Too many people are comfortable with having learning the Word of God at church substituted for biblical platitudes and fellowship. So that means the ministry sticks with basics. And when you do that, where's growing in grace and knowledge? Where's understanding the things at the end time? See, we're not to be static ever. What we do today is fine today. Now, if it's been a bad day, repent and go on and ask God to help make tomorrow a better day. And if tomorrow's a better day, thank God for it and go on. And whatever the difficulties come, as Jesus said, sufficient for the day thereof is the evil thereof. See? But we're to keep seeking the kingdom of God first. Now notice, verse 2. Now, what I want you to do, when you watch the world news, you watch some of these reports, and everything that's going on in the world is really quite a thing. Look at the famines in Africa. The storms and things that we've had here in America, and also the heat that we have had, the earthquakes that have been around the world. It started out with Haiti, and then Chile, and then New Zealand, and then Japan, and then Alaska, and then back east, then one in Seattle recently. And I think a lot of this is all associated with these solar flares and the magnetism, plus the sin and everything. See, all of these things are combined in one big picture. Verse 20, for the creation, for the earnest expectation of the creation itself is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God, because the creation was subjected to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected it in hope. And that goes right back to Genesis 3:15. Okay? In order that the creation itself might be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that all the creation is groaning together and travailing together until now. Think what Paul would write today with all the things that we know of. Okay? Okay, so here is some of the things that have taken place. Yes, I mentioned it, the drought affecting Kenya, Djibouti, Ethiopia, Uganda, Southern Africa, however, has experienced heavy rainfall. Latin America, series of disasters. More than 500 people died in some of Brazil's worst rainstorms and mudslides in January. Colombia faced what it called its worst ever natural disaster when months of rain and floods devastated the north of the country. Meanwhile, Mexico and much of Central America experienced one of the deepest droughts in many years, to say nothing of the drug wars down in Mexico. So everything is kind of, you know, a tinderbox here, a tinderbox there, a tinderbox over here. Korea, the Philippines, and part of China have been racked with some of the worst storms in a century, with flash floods and landslides triggered by torrential rain. Then it talks about the tsunami, which killed 12,000. Earthquake 6.2 or above hit New Zealand, Philippines, Japan, Fox Islands, Papua New Guinea, Mexico, Indonesia, Fiji, Thailand, Burma, Vanuatu, Argentina, Chile, and Iran in the first 6 months of 2011. Smaller ones have hit Pakistan, Tajikistan, Tonga, and Solomon Islands. And also, the ice is melting in the Arctic at a record rate, so we'll have to see what happens there. Now then, it lists all the disasters here in America. And I was thinking the other day when I was watching the news where it says, today is the record for the number of consecutive days of heat over 100 degrees in Texas. And I was thinking, you look at the map, drought, flood, hurricane, earthquake. Okay? What else do we have? Dollar collapsing, unemployment, all of those things. So we need to be alert to those. Okay? Now then, you think that's bad? Hold on. Hold on. U.S. secret experiments of transhumanism. Secret experiments are underway in the U.S. and elsewhere, are sparking fears of a potential extinction-level event, hastening the second coming of Jesus. Now, let's understand this. Nothing is going to hasten it. It's going to be right on time. Okay? But we haven't understood exactly what men are going to be able to do. Now, we've covered back there in Genesis 11. Now, you don't have to turn there, but why did God confuse all the languages? Because now that they have begun to do this, anything that they imagine to do, they will be able to do. And nothing will be restrained from them. Now we can see why. For decades now, there have been science fiction stories portraying a future filled with spectacular abilities for people. Look at the movies that we have out there today, and it's like my wife has said for years, everything that Satan does, he telegraphs through the movies. What do we have with the movie Avatar? Post-humans, transhumans, super powerful people. Okay? Where the definition of what makes someone a human is blurred by blending high technology and even animal traits into the human body. Remember the old movie, $6 Million Man? 1982, Blade Runner. Then we have the movies Dollhouse, The Terminator, The Spider-Man, Spleece, The Matrix. And all of those are trying to show that men are greater if we can enhance them. Okay? Now, there's a DVD you can find and download online. It's called Transhumanism, trans-humanism:destroying the barriers. Now, what that is, basically, it's sort of a regenesis, altering human bodies genetically, mechanically, or both, to make them better than they have been for thousands of years, affording them Superman-style abilities in both brains and brawn. Have we been programmed to receive that as a world? Yes, indeed. Nick Bostrom of Oxford University, philosophy professor and director of the Future of Humanity Institute. Isn't that something? They have an institute for the future of humanity. Says many transhumans wish to follow life paths which would, sooner or later, require growing into post-human persons who have a form of eternal life. You will become gods. He says transhumanists want to be resistant to disease, impervious to aging, to have unlimited youth and vigor, to exercise control over their own desires, moods, and mental states, to be able to avoid feeling tired, hateful, or irritated about petty things, to have an increased capacity for pleasure, love, artistic appreciation, and serenity, to experience novel states of consciousness that current human brains cannot access. In other words, become higher than the highest high you can get from any of the drugs today. It seems likely that the simple fact of living is indefinitely long, healthy, active life would take anyone to post-humanity if they went on accumulating memory, skills, and intelligence. God can take care of that at any time. Then they have another application of the what we saw with the mark of the beast, you know, the little temporary skin tattoo. They have it now, so they can just put it over her mother's belly, who's pregnant, and check up on the belly, the baby. Okay? Meanwhile, IBM just unveiled an experimental computer chip. It says mimics the human brain in that it perceives, acts, and even thinks. Now, what they want to do is find out how, with nanotechnology, that they can actually make a brain that will be encased in some kind of substance like our brain is today, which basically is chlorophyll. And by the way, all these cholesterol, okay? All these cholesterol-reducing drugs, be careful. Brain's mostly cholesterol. So is the liver. Think what that may have to do with things about losing memory, etc. I know a man who was on blood pressure medication and also the cholesterol medication. Well, he started taking care of his health and taking care of his body and exercising and doing what he needed to do. And guess what? He quit all of that, and his blood pressure was normal, and his cholesterol was normal. What do you know about that? Took effort, but no doctor bill. And besides, if Obamacare goes in, that's what you're going to have to do, because he ain't going to take care of you. Okay? All right. Additionally, researchers at Cambridge University created the first ever animal with artificial information in its genetic code. Remember, once it is there and is a part of their reproductive systems, it goes on to the next generation. Think about that. The technique, they say, would give biologists atom by atom control over the molecules in living organizations. What makes the newly created animals different from their genetic code has been extended to create biological molecules not known in the natural world. Now, when it says that the way of man seems right, the ends thereof are the ways of death, you got it right here. They think they're God. They think they're wise. The Bible says they're fools. Among them is author and researcher Tom Horn, who stars in Transhumanism Destroying the Barriers. That's the DVD you can download online. He suggests people as we know them are in the process of a man-made redesign in order to make them super beings or even non-human entities. In terms of what transhumanists are aspiring to do through the use of these new sciences, biotechnology, nanotechnology, neuropharmacology, Horn says, what they may do is lead us literally into the fulfillment of biblical prophecies, hence the return of Christ. Now, when you read back there in the book of Revelation about some of these soldiers and things, we've never asked the question, why are they in this type of symbolism that they are? Maybe we're seeing why by some of these things that are here. Well, that catches you up on the news. It doesn't change anything. And, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. So we'll go ahead and take a break.